This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Jenny hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
I just want to do things my own way, you know.
I lost my mind again, out where the river swells with rain. She kindly took me in, made me feel I was not the one to blame. As change was blowing in the trees.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you all in beautiful high-definition audio or something quite like it. To all four corners of this bluish-green planet that we call our Earth. How are you doing, fans? Phil Pritchett here with you. Well, well, well... Gosh, the Aggies are firing coaches. The Cowboys are in a late season swoon. It must be December. Oh, the tree goes up. The lights start going up. The Thanksgiving leftovers slide into the garbage. Kind of sad. You buy that turkey. Such preparation. Such a lot goes into it, of course. The making of Thanksgiving. Then it's all ceremoniously just dumped in the garbage, a rotting carcass put on the curb. But hey, it's how we roll, man. We love it. I love Thanksgiving. Over the years, I think it's become one of my favorite holidays. As a kid, I didn't think much of it. Of course, you love Christmas and all that entails. Thanksgiving, just, you know, you had to go to your aunt's house or your grandparents, people that you don't know very well. It's kind of always a... Yeah, a little bit of a fun, but a little mysterious, a little odd sort of a holiday. But now that they're all in my house, it's great, man. Love it. Love Thanksgiving. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving and are looking forward to a tremendous 2014 Christmas. I hope you're just gearing up, man, circling around the fire, listening to the podcast, and just loving life as we look forward to 2015. A great 2015. Speaking of Thanksgiving, man, you know what? If you still have any doubt that rock and roll had some changes through the years, I'm watching the Thanksgiving. I got kids. They love watching the Thanksgiving Day Macy's parade. Which another like Thanksgiving of yore, which I always hated, but now you know it's just something on. You know, the marching bands and whatever, some Broadway show they're doing out there. Rock and roll, man. Good grief. Who's out there? Sting is out there. The Police, man. But what's he doing? He's bald. He's staggering around out there pretending to be a drunk in his Broadway show. I don't know what it's called. And he's out there singing, you know, well, Sting, man, he wrote this Broadway play. He's trying to, you know, it's not doing very well. He's got to be in it to try and get ticket sales up. And he was great. I'm a huge, huge, huge Police fan, a huge Sting solo artist fan. Seen him in live many times, a huge fan. But it's just funny to see him in the Macy's Day parade out there. A rocker just out there, on doing Broadway. So much for the punk days of the Police, man. Well, that was freaking what, 45 years ago? We all grow up, right? And then as I'm sitting there sipping my coffee, warming my feet by the fire, smelling the turkey in the oven, just eating a big breakfast, drifting off into just a nice little kind of nap zone there about 9, 10 in the morning, and thinking, gosh, Sting in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. That just shows that rock and roll is dead. As soon as this thought comes to mind, wanna rock and roll all night. I'm just like, I come out of this stupor, and lo and behold, right there on a float coming down the Macy's Thanksgiving Street, Kiss. Kiss. And I'm just rubbing my eyes. My children freeze in their tracks. They say, "Dad, Dad, tell me what's happening. I'm scared. What is this?" You know what? The funny thing is, they weren't even scared. They just looked at me like, "Who are these guys? What? This is dumb." What? They weren't scared. They were not intrigued. They were not thrown off by this like I was. Kiss, man. Here they come on the float, kind of a rickety float. Looks like something run out of the Animal House parade. Just Simmons is kind of swaying around. You know, the float's kind of lurching to and fro. They're all air playing their instruments, lip syncing. It is, and I'm just thinking to myself, what are they doing? What is this? Who had the the wherewithal to plan this for Kiss? And I just thought, you know what? Kiss has always just sucked, in my opinion. A lot of people like to come up to me and go, "Man, but Phil, come on, you gotta love Kiss, man. If someone gave you a ticket, you wouldn't go. Come on, dude. Explosions. Guys are spitting blood. It's rock and roll." I'm like, dude, it's just a pageantry of ridiculousness and stupidity. Their music sucks. They can't sing or play or write and never could. So I was never a fan of Kiss. But the one thing they did have was some reputation, some degree of cred for being dangerous, for being scary. That was their one thing. Like, "Hey, man, if you don't like Kiss, man, we're just a little too scary or something." And, dude, here they are in the Thanksgiving Day parade. No more. You're right between Big Bird and the Elmo float. You know, no more scary than that. They just fit right in there, man. Just sailing right down the avenue, playing "Wanna Rock and Roll All Night." Not as scary as anything from Jay-Z or Eminem or anything like that. Just "I Wanna Rock and Roll All Night." Just a cartoon. And Al Roker and Matt Lauer are just giddy, like, "Man, this is great. Wow, rock and roll." I'm just like, oh man, rock and roll is truly dead. Truly and truly dead. Kiss, man. Oh man. So that was a sign of the times from the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Kiss and Sting trying to get something going or keep something going. More power to him, man. What can I say? Oh, what else is going on, Phil? What else has struck me recently here? I got some emails from you guys. I'm going to get to one here in a little bit and talk to respond to some emails I've gotten. Very good. A lot of people excited about the podcast. Rolling forth again. Thrilled to see those little notices jumping up on their mobile devices and computers throughout the world. Thanks so much for writing in. I read every sentence. Respond to everything. And just keep them coming, men and ladies. Thank you very much. This band Pomplamoose, somebody sends me this article. It's been making the rounds out there. They're a band, a guy, girl band, Pomplamoose. And this, Jack Conti? I don't have it in front of me here, the article, but, the guy in the band just very honestly and openly blogged about their tour. They're an independent band. They sold 1,200 tickets at the Fillmore in San Francisco. That's a pretty big venue, man. That's a lot of tickets to sell. And he just kind of wrote a blog about how they played 28 dates in 30 days. And they sold 1,200 tickets at the Fillmore and played all these other venues and sold all this stuff. But and how much money did they make? It's just they lost like $14,000 or something. I was just like, what? I mean, they're playing like, you know, good-sized venues, like House of Blues-sized venues. Yeah, man, but the lights and the bus and the, yeah, whatever. And they're in a van, too. They said that they aren't a van, but they had, you know, crew and all this kind of thing. Oh, man, it just made me thankful for where I am, man, because it is hard to make a living out there. Gosh, did you see Scott Stapp, the old Creed guy? He's out there talking into his phone. He's evidently just strung out and broke and paranoid, and it's just sad as hell, man. So some of this stuff's hard for me to take. You know, we kind of joke about it on the show. It's kind of the rock and roll cliche, but nothing breaks my heart more than anybody, but just in my musician world, that's the news that reaches me a lot, is these guys just totally bottoming out and, you know, just strung out, broke. See, that's the story. The singer, I haven't followed the story too closely, but Scott Stapp, the old Creed singer. Creed, maybe the most maligned band in the 90s. Were they 90s or were they early 2000s? They're both somewhere in there. They were just the last vestige of any sort of real, you know, you had like Nirvana and Pearl Jam, kind of this renaissance of rock and roll in the early 90s. And that continued through like Stone Temple Pilots and yeah, kind of held on for a while. Then it seemed like that vein, that root off the branch off the tree, it got all the way to Creed, where it just started to really lose all appeal and credibility to anybody who'd been with it from the beginning. So Creed was just kind of the last of these type of alternative 90s rock bands. Anyway, a real sad story there. I don't know. He's out there. God love him. We hope he's going to pull out of that. Yeah, you know, that kind of got me on another subject of where people go wrong. I probably shared on the podcast some of these. And this is just my view from the cheap seats here, Trinidad World Recording Studios in Fort Worth. But I was talking to some friends the other day about people, you know, you grow up in life, you like to think life isn't like high school. You know, and I went through a period like this. You go to high school, there's the in crowd, the out crowd. You know, I did okay. I don't know. I was in a band. I kind of had my place, I felt like, a little bit. But there's no question that there's all sorts of, you know, social drama, etc. And then as I kind of got into college and had fun and played music and moved around and got married, I just wasn't as aware of it for a long time there. I just said, hey, man, I just got my little life here and nothing's like that anymore. But I remember a quote from Jerry Seinfeld saying, like, Hollywood is just like high school with money. And it's pretty funny. And gosh, kind of the older I get, you do feel yourself. I think it's really when your kids start going to school, you get back into that mentality a little bit. It's just impossible to avoid because you're suddenly around a lot of other parents and people, and your kids notice things just very innocently and say, man, they've got a 5-story house, Dad, or, you know, they've got a boat, you know, and you just kind of, well, we don't need a boat, okay? I mean, it, all of a sudden, you know, but my kids aren't being, you know, there's nothing ugly about it or anything. It's just kind of this innocent thing, like, hey, you know, why don't we have 3 trampolines or that kind of stuff? So all of a sudden, you find yourself once again on some level wrestling with or justifying yourself, because you are put up against, you know, dads just driving Porsches and, you know, people skiing in Vail for 2 weeks and stuff like that. You know, just getting talked about at school and at parties and your kids are hearing this and that. So anyway, all of a sudden, it's kind of back into this keeping up with the Joneses kind of deal that I feel like I'm not a part of and don't pay attention to, but it's there nonetheless. And I kind of stumbled on this in this conversation when you talk about the needs of human beings. The needs of human beings. What is that, Phil? What do you think, man? I'm talking just food, clothing, and shelter. Food, clothing, and shelter. Can we all agree? Now there's other stuff out there. You want acceptance and blah, 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 blah. And you want, you know, whatever, your life to be fulfilling and all the sort of things that human beings need. But that's kind of outside the bounds, dude. I'm talking about just the basics. Food, clothing, and shelter. Everybody agree? Well, that's what we all need, man. And I think if you look at anybody you know, yeah, look at yourself, and you evaluate the stress in your life or the anxiety you feel with daily existence. Oh my gosh, I got to do this, I got to do that, and this is happening, and oh my gosh, what is this, and I got that. All that kind of stuff, which I try to avoid as much as possible. It kind of comes down to food, clothing, and shelter on some level. And what I mean by that is how much you attribute, how much stress each of these things causes you. Think about that. Food, clothing, and shelter. How many people do you know that, you know, food, I mean, what do I do? Phil, what do you do? Now, I'm just kind of using myself as a boring example here, okay? But food for me is a bowl of cereal in the morning, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with some potato chips and a banana for lunch. You know, In the middle of the day, I might kind of go, you know, I'm kind of hungry. I'll eat some cheese and crackers for dinner, make some pasta, maybe grill a steak, you know, and go to sleep. I don't give it a whole lot of thought. I'm not picky. I'm not on a diet. I'm not allergic to peanuts or gluten or anything like that, or on the Atkins diet or on the South Beach diet. I'm not a vegan. I'm not a vegetarian. I don't know. I eat a little bit of everything. If someone says, hey, Phil, we got a hot fudge sundae for dessert. Would you like one? I don't just go into some pre-prepared speech. Just, well, you know, I don't eat dairy and chocolate makes me break out in hives. Does it have nuts on it? Yeah. Well, my doctor, I don't go into this kind of deal. But some of y'all are laughing out there because you know people who this is all they do. This is all they do is obsess, agonize about food. It's just this constant presence that is just a constant source of planning, of stress, of calculation. What is in this? I'm trying to do this, but you're giving me this. I can't go eat there, man. I can't eat dairy. Let me hear dairy. I don't eat eggs. I don't do this. In other words, it causes great stress and anxiety to go find these things. Now, I know there are, but Phil, I got this condition. Look, I'm sure there's medical reasons some people do this kind of thing. But I've found people who are really, really, really allergic to something, or man, I've really got celiacs or something, they just quietly go about their business. They don't say much, you know? They just go, oh, I don't eat that or whatever. They don't just go into a speech about every meal about how they can't eat something. But dude, I cannot stand, it just starts to wear me out. I mean, that's fine if you want to live like that. Great. But food is a constant source for a lot of people, man, I think, of just of hand-wringing and special shopping, special preparing, special buying, going to that doctor, being tested for allergies, blah, blah, blah. So that's food. That's what a lot of people do to themselves with something that really shouldn't require a whole lot of thought, in my view. Clothing, food, clothing, and shelter. Phil, you know, someone took a picture with me at a gig recently at the firehouse. He said, Phil, I haven't seen you in a long time, man. Put his arm around me and goes, I got a picture of you from like 5 years ago, you know, standing right here at the firehouse. I was like, cool, man. And then he just kind of looks at me and goes, I think you were wearing this shirt. And I was a little embarrassed. I kind of looked down. I was like, yeah, probably. It's just like this old black shirt I've had for like 10 years. And he was probably freaking right, man. I just got so tickled at that. I was like, man, I am not a wardrobe guy at all. I've got my same two shirts, frayed flannel shirts, a couple of, just button down white shirts that I wear kind of around town. And that's about it. I mean, I just have the same shirt kind of get up and throw on every morning to drive the kids to carpool. Then I get back home and I just throw on, I got about three shirts, man. Really, honest to goodness. Isn't that funny? So in other words, that approach, it just doesn't cause me any stress, man. I just, if my favorite shirt's clean, I'll wear it. If it's not, I go to my second or third string, you know, fourth string. That's about it. It requires no thought, no planning, no anxiousness on my part. And so that's it. Clothing, peanut butter sandwich, flannel shirt here and there. No stress, no worry, no planning, no special trips, no shopping, no walking into a closet with 500 shirts and 15 pairs of shoes just going, God, what should I wear? And, oh, man, the soles are running out or wearing out on this pair. I need to get that to the cobbler. Jeez, man, oh, I spilled something on my nice boots. Got to take that in. People are running around town, man. I run into people all day. Oh, man, I got to get my jacket altered and, man, I got this on my new suede jacket I got. It cost me all this money. I paid $400. Now I got the stain on it. The guy said this. And, man, check out these pants I got. If you put a lot of effort and money and thought in your clothes, that's going to cause you stress. So here's a lot of them out there, man, wringing their hands over their diets and their food, and they're going here and there, and they're shopping. Oh, my God. Spending money left and right, can't find what they need. All this for food and clothing. And then, of course, the last one, shelter. We got a modest house here in Fort Worth. It's been here since the 50s. It's solid as a rock. And that's it. I know where every little faucet is under the... I know how to fix the sinks and the toilets and kind of bang on the air conditioner if it goes out. I know how to fix everything in the house. It's pretty simple. It's kind of like having a pickup truck for a house. It's just solid. It gets the job done, and here we are. Needless to say, few people, I should say, take that approach, to say the least, to their shelter. While the person I'm having lunch with is obsessing about the menu, sending back food, going to special diets, worrying about the stain on his jacket, the hole in his shoe, shopping, doing this. What else is he doing? He's adding on. Oh, yes, he has no kids, but he and his wife are just adding on, putting a bedroom, and she's mad at me. I'm mad at her. She likes this light switch. I don't like this light switch. We're looking out. I want the view. We wanted to live here, but she wanted to do this. And they're at each other's throats. The taxes are going through the roof. Taxes are going to double as you double the size of your house. Your bills are going to double as you double the size of your house. On and on and on. Now you got to work more to pay for this house. On it goes, man. Food, clothing, and shelter. So in conclusion, I would like to give you this. Phil's, take this for whatever it's worth. 43-year-old Phil sitting in his modest house in Fort Worth. Food, clothing, and shelter. Man, just take what you need and just don't think about it. You know, go on to something else. Write a book or something. The joy is playing with the kids, writing a book, watching a movie. I don't know, just putting your mind to other things. But man, so many people I know, I mean, think about it, man. Food is just the greatest issue in their life. And all they need to do is just eat an egg and a handful of nuts. They'll be fine and just move on. That's it, you know. Clothing, a couple pairs of jeans, boots, I don't know, or whatever you want, a couple items. But boy, if you got that big closet and you got that diet and you're adding on to the house, your life is just... And so anyway, I get around people who just complain and go on and on. And man, they're just making issues out of these three very basic needs that don't need to be an issue at all. That's the thought of the day, man. Food, clothing, and shelter. Evaluate that by how much you obsess over each one, and that'll tell you how much anxiety is in your life. You could have read a 600-page mental health book on that, and I just gave it to you in about 5 minutes. There you go. Ha ha! Well, thanks, folks. You know what? I got this great email. I'm moving on here to from thoughts on food, clothing, and shelter. Food, clothing, and shelter. To an email I got from our old friend Billy. Billy Wallace in Houston. What's going on, man? William Wallace, is that right? Wasn't that Gibson's name from Braveheart? He probably gets that a lot. Maybe that's not right. But he very kindly says, glad to hear the new podcasts and all this. He's been listening to a long time. Back when the great Kurt South was here, man. Don't we all miss Kurt out there in Virginia somewhere, mowing yards with his hunting cap on and his hiking boots and his shotgun. I hope he's out there. We still stay in touch. He's doing well. But he brings up a point here that I wanted to throw out. A lot's been made recently about the whole Taylor Swift Spotify deal. She took her stuff off Spotify. They're stealing from artists, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. So he had a question here. What are your thoughts on the recent stuff going on with Spotify? I know you've talked about it a lot on your show. Seems like it'd be a good example for newer acts. Dave Grohl seems to have said, give the music away for free and go on tour, which seems like what you and Kurt used to talk about. Also on the same page, the drummer of the Black Keys said U2 was selling out other artists by giving their newest album away for free. I was just curious what you thought about hearing y'all talk about it on the old podcast. Looking forward to more podcasts and the new album, Billy Wallace. Thanks a lot, man. Good to hear from you. Yeah, I don't know. I just think it is what it is. Spotify is just what's happening. You just got to roll with it, man. You cannot cry in your beer for the way things were. This kind of goes just to draw a ridiculous line, as I am wont to do on my own podcast, to a bigger issue out there. And I don't want to get too political or anything like that, but there is a mentality out there of folks that likes to always attribute any hardships or hurdles in front of them to a mass conspiracy that we cannot see. And this kind of goes to the conspiracy theory, the black helicopter crowd. I don't know. Sure, the government has a lot of power and corporations have a lot of power and there's societies that may or may wield this or that. But at the end of the day, even these cultures and societies, they are still subject to the rules of supply and demand. They are still subject to the market. As long as people can spend their dollars or not spend their dollars, they're going to be subject to it. I don't care if it's the oil companies or the record companies or something. They can put a CD out there, and hey, yeah, they can take out advertising. They can force a few sales and get people to notice this artist and that artist and stuff. But the next album and stuff, they can't physically make people go buy it. So it still comes down to that. So if people aren't going to buy CDs, and CDs just don't sell, or no one comes to your show for $10 a head, that just tells you something. But that's not everybody. No one walks away from that. Very few anyway, and say, man, we need to get better. We suck. Few people say that. They go, oh man, well, you know, unless we just had this, or you know, I'm not a millionaire, and I didn't have this and that, and the only reason this guy's doing good is. We all fall into that trap, don't we? I mean, we all like to become victims, because in the victim's case, it's not our fault, man. It's just this massive conspiracy out there. Spotify, everyone's like, well, the labels want Spotify. Man, they don't. It's what's happening. It's what's happening. People just have mobile devices. They don't walk around with CDs and iPads and their vinyl records in a backpack, you know? It's quick. The big evolution is just people don't care about ownership, about owning that music. Here, I have this thing. They just want access to it. I just want to be able to listen to it, you know, if I want to listen to it, or it's in my shuffle, or it's in my playlist. Oh, I heard this song on the radio. I'm just going to listen to it right now. And that is different. I mean, a lot of money was made on producing a physical CD, you know, and having the packaging and all that, you know, and selling it for $15 when it cost you about $1 to make the whole thing. That was the business, man. Well, that business is gone. We all know that. I'm just curious about Taylor Swift, because she had to have just been getting checks for millions of dollars, and that's what Spotify claimed, that they've paid her whatever, you know, $4, $5, $6 million over the last few years for having her stuff on Spotify. So she pulls it off and says, well, I'm going to sell my new album. I don't know how she's selling it. I guess it's CDs, or I guess just iTunes, you know, where people just buy it by the download. The Beatles weren't on. They're not on Spotify. The Beatles were the last to come to the CD table. They were the last to make a Beatles rock band. I mean, they're always, or go on iTunes, all that kind of stuff. Because they're big enough and are making as much money in the old model to stay out of the new things until they get a big enough offer to join in. So certainly Taylor Swift right now, she's big enough to, it's not going to hurt her to be off Spotify. But for the rest of us, man, I mean, why not? I do agree with Dave Grohl. He's just like, look, just get it out there and, you know, let people hear it. And it's all about the live, man. The only money out there for these bands now is selling tickets on the road. How can you think that the Eagles play American Airlines Center every month or some? Billy Joel plays Madison Square Garden once a month. Did you see that? He's got a residency at Madison Square Garden. It's just like me going to the Mansion in Dallas and go, hey, man, we'll just play in here once a month. It's a local gig. It's fun. We'll show up and play. So that's what you do. Those are the gigs. Because, yeah, there are not sales. There are not really reasons to make even new music for those old artists. Billy Joel, I mean, he hasn't made a new album, he said, since 1993, River of Dreams. He just shrugs and goes, look, people come to hear my old songs. That's what I play at Madison Square Garden. Big deal. You know, I mean, why would I make some new album and tour with it? He's old. He just, you know, I mean, he said, I've done it forever and what's the big deal? So that is one interesting aspect of it, is how it affects new music for old acts. There's so many bands out there you can hear on Spotify and stuff, of course. That filter of having a CD or having an album is gone, where you have maybe just a, you know, 20, 30 major label artists putting out product every year. You've got a billion. So you do get these songs, you know, like the Take Me to Church. You're just like, oh, this is a great new band. And but the chances of you ever hearing another song from that dude are slim, you know. I mean, my kids listen to pop radio in the car. And, I'll hear the, you know, Foster the People song and the Plain White Tees song. And I remember kind of thinking, oh, yeah, man, this is a good track. You know, what happened to these guys? Well, you know, the next album or something just didn't do quite as good, and that was the end of it. I think that is, it has just kind of become a string of one-hit wonders that, you know, hey, they get some, you make a really great track, it'll get downloaded on YouTube and iTunes and streamed on Spotify. in the tens of hundreds of millions, maybe. I mean, it's huge, huge, huge to get it out there if you can break through. But then the chances of your next single doing that are probably just slim to none. Just because of the odds of that, how many artists there are and how many new songs are coming out. You know, it's like Bob Lefsetz always says in his blog, none of us, you or I, none of us have time for mediocre. Well, yeah, that's okay. I'll just keep listening to it. We only have time for something great, something amazing, some great new song that we'll listen to a few times and go, man, that's really great. I'm going to hold on to that or, you know, make a note of that band or that song. That takes a lot of doing, man, because we've got all our old stuff. I've got all my vinyl in there. You know, I'm filled up. I'm just in need of some other bands to like, you know, I'm in need of some other songs to listen to. I mean, it's ridiculous. So to crack through the Beatles and Led Zeppelin and whatever else I got going here in the other room, it better be pretty damn good, man. I just don't have time for it. I'm just going to shrug and go, you know, big deal. So I don't know if that answers your question, William. But yeah, Spotify, shoot, man. Yeah, the U2 thing, man, wasn't that a disaster? They gave away their album and everybody sent it back, which I thought was great. I love U2, but look, man, I love the Stones, too. And I love anybody, McCartney, and I love whoever else. These old bands, those are all my guys, right? But you know what? History plays it out. The longer they're around, the longer they continue to work and go on the Today Show and stuff, the more they're just going to embarrass themselves with their age, with their new songs. And so U2, man, they're just going to get old like everybody else, man. And their hair is going to fall out and they're going to get gray and they're going to get fat. And they're still going to be up there trying to run around the stage playing Sunday Bloody Sunday. They're going to keep lowering the key to play it in so Bono can hit the notes. We wish Bono well, by the way. I don't know if y'all heard. Saw he's in a bike crash. He was riding his bike through Central Park in New York and crashed and, man, broke his face and had a compound fracture in his arm. And so he's all messed up, man. So our wishes go out to him, man, and the band. But, man, I don't know. I hope this is a year of reflection for our friend Bono, who we all love and respect. But, you know, he gave away his album. Nobody wanted it. They sent it back. Yeah, and talk about free music, man. You cannot give your album away. U2 literally could not give their album away. It was immediately deleted, angrily received, and returned by everybody, a lot of people out there. So that should tell you something right there about the state of things. Cannot even give your music away if you're U2. That's tough stuff, man. So Bono, man, they sent back his album. Then he crashes this horrible accident. And I don't know, man. I hope he's just sitting in a nice, comfortable chair somewhere with a Guinness, looking out over his property. And, you know, sure, he wants to be number one. He wants to tour and he wants to be on stage and all that. But, man, maybe take a page out of the Barry Sanders, the great running back for the Detroit Lions, playbook, man. Hey, pull it out, man. You know, let's just kind of dial it back a little bit. Maybe, we've got a lot of U2 music out there. We'll just kind of ride on that. I'll just go fishing for a few years and, keep working with his charities and things like that. And don't worry about getting on stage quite as much, man. I don't know. What do I know? I'll probably be on stage when I'm 55, 60 years old. But I don't know if I'll be running around putting out new albums. Who knows? Oh, gosh, covering a lot of ground there, folks. Thanksgiving Day's parade, food, clothing, and shelter. Spotify. My goodness gracious. And I didn't even get to the part where I predicted the decline of Robert Griffin III. Remember that 2 years ago? Me just going, we've seen this act before. Right after his rookie year, everybody said he's going to transform the game. I said, he's done. You've seen the peak of RG3. Yeah. Go back and look at the post. I can't remember which one it is, but it's labeled on the P2 podcast page. I think it was January 2013 or December 2012. You know, right there at the end of that season, his rookie year. Got a lot of hate mail from Baylor people at the time when I said that, but... looking at the headlines, man, I don't like to go back and brag on myself, but I could not help it. I saw a headline online the other day, just it's over. Just RG3 just hanging his head. Just, man, he just can't throw it very well. You know, he's not a pocket passer. I'm just like, ha, who would have thought it? Who would have thought it? Well, well, well. Folks, Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast. So glad to be with you again here. Flowing through the things on the desk. Thanks for the emails, for posting stuff. And I hope everybody is enjoying the new podcasts. Man, I'm going to have guests. I've got so many long list of guests we're going to get to. People to come in here and share their thoughts and opinions and personal news with me. Musicians, all kinds of people. So we'll be having more and more guests on the podcast, as you're accustomed to. But even if we don't, man, I'll just be sitting here spewing my thoughts in vitriol at you. That's right, folks. You can always count on it here, the P2 Podcast. Well, that is all the time we have here for this week, folks. More podcasts coming your way very soon. Call me, damn it, 817-733-5256, or shoot me an email, phil@philpritchett.com, to book the band. Phil Pritchett and the Full Band, or the British Are Coming, our great British tribute band we do at the mansion with the ties and the sunglasses and British accents. Love it, man. Or a combination. We've done these combination shows where the British Are Coming will actually open up, quote-unquote, for Phil Pritchett and the Full Band. So all kinds of fun in every direction for everyone. Thanks so much for everything, everybody. Sending me the emails. Great hearing from you guys. And we'll see you next week on the podcast. Much tougher.